So I'm just going to just give you some highlights of this chapter here that I hope you'll take home with you. I want you to notice with me, and I think it's important as I was, I do this on Sunday evenings. I'll go home. I have a routine. I like routine. I get out of my routine. It's not good for me. It's just not. It's not good for me to get out of my routine. And I have a hard enough time staying on track when I'm on routine. When I get out of routine, I just have a hard time staying on track. And the older I get, the more my routine is precious to me. And I go home on Sunday afternoons, and I'll eat a little bit, and then I'll go to my room, and I'll look over what God's given me. I normally have my message already pinned out, and I'll say, "Now, God, if there's anything on this paper here that you don't want me to preach or say tonight, I want you to take it off, and if you want to add to it," and so I'm going to add something to it. This is what God told me to add. I want you to notice something. If we don't get any further than this tonight, I'll be okay with it. All right? I want you to notice this psalm, Psalm 34. It's a psalm about trusting the Lord. Now, as I said, David put out the call in verse number 8, and he said, "Listen, I want you to prove the Lord." He said, "Prove him. Taste and see that the Lord is good." And then he put a colon there, and he said, "This is how you will know this. This is how I can come to this conclusion. He, or blessed, is the man that trusteth in him." You'll know God is good when you're trusting him. You'll see just how good God is when you're trusting him. If you're not trusting him, you may doubt his goodness. You may doubt his working in your life and the way that he meets needs and the way that he comes through and the way he delivers from all the troubles that you're in. But when you're trusting him, you realize God is good. And so he said, I'm asking you, taste. Get some of it. That's what he's saying. He's saying, understand. He said, I'm challenging you. Now, who's he challenging? Well, I believe for the saints of God through all of time. God pinned it down and he preserved it. But I want us to go back. Look at the heading under Psalm 34. This is there for a reason. And oftentimes when we read through the Psalms, if we're not careful, we'll just kind of go Psalm 34 and then go to right to verse number 1. But these headings will give us some real information on what brought this writer to this psalm. Notice what he said, or what it says, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Now, I want you to hold your place here, and I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 20 and 21. It's in 21, but I want you to see something in verse chapter 20, 1 Samuel chapter 20, and this is what's going on in David's life. Now, David, when he's writing this psalm, he's just saying, I will praise the Lord continually. Amen. He said, I'm just going to praise God. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I just want to magnify the Lord. He said, God is just good. He said, why don't you taste and see? Don't just take my word for it. Experience it. Amen. He said, take some of it. God's got enough for you. Get some of it. Trust him. Don't just take someone's word for it. Don't just take the preacher's word or your parents' word or your brother's word. You see. Taste and see. Put God through the test. God will come through every time. Can I tell you, God has never let us down. Never. Never. And David is saying, see for yourself. Now, what brought David to such a place of conviction that way? Well, because of what's going on here. I'm just going to highlight a few things. In this account of Scripture, it was mentioned this morning, just in brevity, Pastor Brandon, as he was going through some people that are unlikely to be chosen, David wasn't even in, you know, he wasn't even on the platform as a candidate to be chosen for king. He wasn't even called to the party. Amen. He wasn't. And yet, God told his man Samuel, that's him right there. That's my man right there. I'm going to get me a man after my own heart. Amen. That's my man right there. And God does that oftentimes. And so here's David. He's been called to be the king. And Saul, of course, God sent an evil spirit from the Lord, and Saul began to get after David, and David was on the run. In chapter 19, I want you to look at the last part of verse number 10. And David fled. I'm in 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse number 10. And David, the last part there, and David fled and escaped that night. And then verse number 12, so Michal let David down through a window. Me and Brother Pete was looking at a picture. He had somebody give him a Bible. This is it, Brother Pete. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled. On the run. Okay, David, on the run, fleeing for his life. Then notice, if you would, in verse number 18. So David fled. Then chapter 20 in verse number 1. And David fled. See, this is a man on the run. This is a man that's in fear of his life. Here's a man that's hiding out and on the run. And listen, David wasn't a coward. There's a reason for these things, and I don't have time to go into them tonight. But I want you to look over in chapter 20. Look at verse number 24. In chapter 20, verse number 24 of 1 Samuel, the scripture says this, and David hid himself in the field. He's fleeing and he's hiding and he's being hunted. He's being hunted down like an animal. And then the scripture says in chapter 21, if you'll look in verse number 10 of chapter 21, it says, and David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. Now you say, I thought it was Abimelech. Well, that's kind of a title, like the Pharaoh, the Abimelech. And so the Abimelech is the title, the name of this king is Achish. And so he went to Achish, the king of Gath, and the servants of Achish said unto him in verse number 11, is not this David, the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in the dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And David laid up these words in his heart and was so afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior. Remember what it said right there under Psalm 34? That he changed his behavior and he began to scrabble, to scratch on the wall. This is it, okay? This is what is written under that psalm. This is the occasion that brought about that psalm. Now notice what it says here. In verse number 13, and he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors, or scratched, you know, on the doors of the gate, and let his fiddle fall down upon his beard. Now, what would you think about a man that done something like that? You'd think what they thought. This man's crazy. You know, we don't want him around here. Right? And that's exactly what the king did. If you look in verse number 14, it says, then said Achish unto his servants, lo, you see this man is mad. Wherefore then have you brought him to me? Have I need of mad men that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? So David departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Now I want, for the sake of time, to read a couple of more verses, then we'll go back to Psalm 34, and I have just a couple of few truths I'd like to give you. But I do want you to know the position that David was in when he wrote this psalm. Look, if you would, in verse number 1 of chapter 22, it says, and when his brethren, you see, after he fled and he escaped to the cave of Adullam, his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. So they go down to the cave of Adullam to David. And the scripture says, everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Now this was kind of a motley crew, okay? I mean, this was the crew that was, I mean, they were hurting, and they were in a bad way. You kind of read their demeanor and their place in life, and you just realize, well, these are people kind of down and out. And then you go over to Psalm 34, and you see that the scripture says, now God wanted us to know, just want you to know that I gave this song to David when he was in this place. And there's a reason I gave him this song. I gave him this song for him, but I didn't give it to just for him. See, I believe verse number 8 is to that crew we just read about. That 400, I believe that they needed to taste and see something that David already knew. Amen. I believe that God gave David a song so that he could share this song with this crew. And he was saying to them, I want you to taste and see the Lord is good. And if you'll trust him, these things that you're going through, God will bring some change in your life. But you've got to trust him now. You can't look to me and say, well, now David's God. Boy, he sure does take care of David. David said, I want you to know he'll take care of you too. Amen. Taste and see. Get you some. Amen. Amen. Don't just take my word for it. Amen. And brethren, I'm afraid that we as Christians, if we're not careful, we'll be living off someone else's experiences. Or maybe even some experiences we've had in the past, when I'm here to tell you this evening that God's got some fresh manna for you and I. Amen. He said, I want you to taste and see that I've got something new for you today. My mercies are new every morning. I don't have to duplicate. I can give you what you need for where you are anytime. I'm glad God can do that. Amen. And so he said, I want you to know this. He said, I want you to know that God will take care of those that trust him. Now, God takes care of a lot of folks that they don't even realize, but you're missing it. See, it's one thing for God to be taking care of you, but it's another thing for God to be taking care of you, and you know it. Did you get what I just said? It's a whole nother level. See, there's just times in my life when God was taking care of me, and I wasn't even aware of it. I didn't even know God was taking care of me. And so I missed some things. But as I began to grow and God continues to work with me, and I just, listen, I can't tell you how I bless God's holy name that he's patient with me. And he just continues to work with me, and he says, trust me, son. Trust me. Don't leave me out. Trust me. Acknowledge me. Come to me. I've got something for you. Taste and see. I'm good that way. I'll take care of you. Amen. And I'm glad God continues to work with me that way. I don't mean to be hard-headed. Sometimes I'm foolhardy. And I think, well, you know what? I'll just kind of handle this one on my own. Just a small thing. I'll take care of this. And God will say, wait a minute, wait a minute. I don't want you taking care of anything on your own. I've already told you, without me, you can do nothing. Amen. Not even the small things. Without me, you can do nothing. Amen. So I want you to acknowledge me in all of your ways. I've got just a few thoughts, and I'll come back and preach this psalm. But I want to leave you with something, okay? I want you to notice what David did, and we'll just look at these first three verses. All right? Here's what a man... Here's a reaction to a trusting heart. This will be your reaction. See, as I said, God will take care of us. He's our Father. God's going to take care of us. Listen, your Heavenly Father, Jesus said, knows what you have need of. And I'm glad he does, aren't you? But I want to be aware. I want to be in communion with God so that when he's taking care of me, I can say, thank you, Lord. I see what you just did there. Amen. I saw what you did there, Lord, and I just want to thank you for it. See, I don't want to miss that opportunity to be grateful to God for what he's doing in my life. And I've missed many, and I'm sorry for it. I don't want to miss many more because I don't know how long I'm going to be around here, and you don't either. And I want to thank God for everything he's done for me. I don't want to miss those opportunities, you see. And so David said this. Again, I want to read that heading under the psalm. A psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, that was Achish, the king of Gath, who drove him away, and he departed. He was not in a good way. He fled, and he fled, and he hid. I mean, he was just going through a very trying time in his life. So, David, what are you going to do? Crawl up in a cave and call all your people together and say, boys, we need to have a pity party. Fellas, get around here. I'm going to tell you how God has let me down. See, one of us might be apt to do that. It's in us. Complain against God. Well, I thought God, fellas, I'm sorry. I thought God anointed me king. I don't know what's going on here. David could have gotten bitter. See, experiences of life, they work on us, don't they? They work on us. And that's why it's important that we trust the Lord, that we trust Him. God knows what's best. If there's, listen, God has taught me many things, and right there at the top is God knows best for what my life needs, what I need. God knows best for me. Sometimes I think I do, and God will say, okay, then, go ahead. And then I realize once again, I don't know what's best for me. But God sure does. And so David said, this is a song I want to write for you. And right in the middle of the song, it's almost like David said, taste and see. Amen. I'm telling you, you can praise God in the middle of the storm. You can praise God. In verse number 19, he said, though the afflictions of the righteous be many, I'm here to tell you, boys, God will deliver you out of all of them. I'm here to tell you. So David, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to do what I recommend you to do. You that are discontented and you that are in this way. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. What a statement. Amen. All times? All times. All times and for all things. See, I'd like to get there. I'm not there yet. God, would you help me get there? I'm just bearing my heart. See, I don't want to stand up here and preach to you or at you. I want you to know that this book can change our lives if we just grab hold of it. God wants me to get a hold of this. I want to get to the place in my life where I can say it with conviction. I will bless the Lord at all times. Good times, bad times, full times, empty times. Was it Paul that said, I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content? I wasn't born that way, fellas. I wasn't born that way. But through life's experiences, God has taught me, I've learned to be content. I believe David is saying, I've learned to bless the Lord at all times. I've just learned it's the way to go. Because God's got my best interests in mind. Amen. You believe this, brethren? I hope God is just really shaking something in your heart like He did my soul. I will bless the Lord at all times. Then he said this. He said, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Isn't that something? David, you're running around like a wild animal. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Whether I'm in the palace or in a cave, I'm going to praise God. I'm not going to allow, listen to me now, I'm not going to allow circumstances, situations to dictate how great my God is. My God is great whether my circumstances are great or not. So I'm going to praise Him for His greatness, amen. I'm going to praise Him. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. See, I want to have this conviction, not just stand up here preaching to you, I want to live it tomorrow. And the next day, and God, would you remind me, would you smite me in my heart when I began to get down in the mouth, when I began to murmur and complain, God, would you just smite me in my heart and tell me, son, I've been far better to you than you deserve. You said you wanted to praise me at all times. Get the praise in me. Amen. I will praise the Lord at all times, or bless the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. I wonder if that humble are those folks who gathered around him in that cave. I don't know. Maybe it's somebody here tonight that God has preserved it from generation to generation, realizing that somebody was going to be in the congregation of this church tonight or watching by live stream, down in the heart. Humble in the spirit. And they just need to know that God is there with them in the cave experience. And you'll hear this and you'll be glad. I can praise God at all times because He's worthy to be praised despite what my circumstances are. Amen? See, I don't want these things to dictate praise to me. But if I'm not careful, they will. If I'm not careful, I'll allow circumstances and situations to dictate when I praise God and how I praise God and how often I do it. And then there's an enemy out there trying to silence us, brethren. Listen to me now. They don't want to hear us praise God. When we praise God, God comes on the scene. God inhabits the praises of His people. Listen to me now. God inhabits the praises of His people. God shows up when people begin to praise Him. And when God comes, He brings convicting power with Him. His presence brings, listen, it brings soberness and somberness. And that's why people don't want to hear you say amen. They want you to do this. They don't want to hear you say amen. They don't want to hear you say glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You begin to praise God, it brings conviction. That's right. And that's why a lot of folks, listen, they're trying to silence us. They don't hear anything about Jesus. Now, you can mention God, listen to me now, you can mention God in a generic way, in a general sense, and some people will be a little tolerable with you. But when you break it down and start talking about the only begotten darling Son of God who shed His last blood at Calvary for our sin and who extended His amazing grace that we might be saved, then I'll tell you right now, folks, we get real nervous. And they'll listen, they'll tell you, oh, now wait a minute, you're on public property, you're on school property, you're at work now. Yeah, I know. Go and praise Him anyway, amen. Because He's worthy to be praised at all times, in all places, for all things. So He said, oh, magnify. He invites some people. And that's what I'm doing to you as I close this out tonight. Look at verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, brethren. Can I challenge you as my fellow brethren in the Lord, as part of that great body, the greatest body ever has been, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, part of the church of the living God, can I challenge you to, let's magnify the Lord together. Let's not be silenced. Let's refuse to bow down. Let's not be silenced. Praise God, whether you're at school. Praise God, whether you're at work. Praise God in Walmart. Praise God in Food Wine. Amen. Praise God in the community. Praise God. Praise Him. He's worthy. He's worthy. Come, magnify. Tell people what Jesus has done in your life. Tell people how wonderful God is. He said, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. So that's just a little introduction. This psalm is, listen, like the old timer said, this is good stuff. Good stuff in this psalm. Let's magnify the Lord. Let's praise Him. Say, preacher, I tell you, there's some things that have happened. I've taken some blows. Now, folks, you don't hear the preacher say this much, but the preacher takes blows. I want you to know that. I take blows. All right? We all take blows. Don't you sit in a church service. Don't sit anywhere, really, and think, well, you know what? That family over there, or this individual over here, they don't have any problems. They don't take any hard knocks. We all do. Now, the blows I take may not be the blows you take. They may be of a different sort. The Bible talks about manifold temptations, which means multicolored, a variety. And there's different types of temptations. And you might be taking a blow one way, and I might take another blow, but we all take some hard hits now. We do. And it's real. And many are the afflictions of the righteous. But I'm here to tell you, God will deliver us out of them all. He's been faithful. And I want to bless His name. I don't want to leave here now. I've read too much of this. And it breaks my heart. And I've asked God, God, don't let me finish weak. I don't want to do that. I don't want to finish with a bitter spirit. I don't want to finish ready to quit because I'm wore down and taking blow after blow. God, I want to praise You continually. I want to bless Your name because You're worthy. I want to go out strong. I want to finish my course. I want to keep the faith. Amen. I pray that you would have that resolve in your heart too. You say, how am I going to do that, preacher? Live every day, one day at a time. One day at a time. If Jesus allows me to live through the night, I'll get up in the morning and say, Lord, I want to bless Your name continually. And I want Your praise to be in my lips today. Help me to walk with You now, Lord. I acknowledge You. Direct my path, God. Put me in the pathway of those who need to hear about you today. And maybe put me in the pathway of those who I need to hear from today. Amen. I'm glad God has a good word for us too. And so could I encourage you? Let's magnify the Lord. All right? Let's stand. Now you say, preacher, I'm unhappy. Well, verse 8 said, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, happy, extremely happy, with intensity is the man that trusteth in God. I want to encourage some of you. I don't think you've trusted him. I'm not saying you're not saved. How do I know that? I don't know what's in your heart. But I'm talking about day to day. Trust him. Would you please? Don't do it for me. Do it for you. I want to put this out here from David, from the Holy Ghost tonight. All right? Taste and see. Say, preacher, the Bible doesn't work. You sure? I think there's untold thousands upon thousands that would say, yes, it does too. And so maybe the reason it's not working for you is because you're not trusting him. Would you do that? Would you give God an opportunity to work in your life? Put his word to the test. Prove me, he said on one occasion. Prove me. Taste and see. If it's not so, David said. Taste and see. God will take care of you. He will meet your needs. You read this psalm. He'll meet your needs. He'll deliver you. He'll be with you through thick and thin. God will never leave you nor forsake you. You can trust him. You can't always trust a preacher. Some preachers let you down. We're just human. Man will let you down. But God will never let you down. Trust him. I'm going to ask the pianist to play and